This is an ABC podcast.
This is Summer Grandstand on ABC Sport with Brett Sprigg on your radio, ABC Sport Digital, and on the ABC Listen app.
Well, we are 13 days away from one of the most anticipated Ashes series in living memory. The build-up has begun. The squad of 15 has been named for our Australian team. It includes this man from Darwin via South Australia and now Tasmania. Jake Weatherald has put together an outstanding portfolio of domestic form over the past 18 months or so. So perhaps is he the one to partner Usman Khawaja at the top of the order in Perth Stadium in 2 weeks' time? The man himself joins me now. Jake, appreciate your time.
Thanks for having me on, mate.
And congratulations on the call-up. We'll delve into all of that. And I know you've been doing plenty of media this week as everyone gets to know Jake Weatherald a bit better. But am I right in saying it was your birthday through the week as well?
Yeah, it was the day before we got announced.
Yeah, you got the call from George Bailey the day after your birthday, which is a nice little present.
Yeah, no, it was awesome. Yeah, it was a great present. No, it was the best present I've had in a long time, so it was great.
And what is that moment like? Is it the sort of thing that you'd imagined previously, sort of maybe going right back to when you're a little kid? Did it play out in the way you imagined it, that phone call from the selector?
Probably not. No, probably not. It's probably not as glamorous as what you probably make it out to be when you're a kid. But at the same time, like, it's no less momentous at the time. Obviously, I'm obviously at an age now where I'm comfortable with myself and what I've done in my career, and getting that call was just I was able to take it in a stride and just accept that I've got a job to do now. But at the same time, if I had that call when I was younger, I probably would have screamed everywhere. So I think I probably just played a little bit cooler than I probably would have if I was younger.
So you get off the phone to George Bailey. Who's the first person you call to pass on the news?
Obviously, I called my wife. She's obviously been a big part of my journey. And then I called my parents. I didn't call my dad because he's notorious for telling everyone, and at the time the squad hadn't been announced. So I knew if I called him, half Australia would know before the team was announced. So I left that. My mum was in Japan with my stepdad, so that was pretty safe, and my wife was pretty good at keeping it secret. So, yeah, it was good.
You've spoken a fair bit about the challenges you'd faced going back 5 or so years now, taking a break from cricket, and subsequently you moved to Tassie a couple of years later, and it's probably such a deep conversation, but you know, how did you get back to this position from almost giving the game away to now being back at the peak of your career?
Yeah, a combination of a lot of things. I've got to give a lot of credit to South Australian cricket. And while it seems like I probably disowned them a little bit and left and moved to another state, they supported me really well throughout that whole time. And the time I was looking to learn about myself and go through things that a lot of people go through, they gave me a lot of support at that time. But then I needed an opportunity to go and grow somewhere else and learn some new skills mentally and physically and going to be under new coaches and all that sort of stuff. And I think, you know, the support I have from my family, my direct family and the people that are close to me, they were the big ones that sort of said it might be a great opportunity to move down to Tasmania, look at some great coaches and some players that you played against that you really respect. So for me, it was... Yeah, I saw the opportunity as a great chance to evolve as a cricketer.
Well, I'm so curious to understand the mindset shift as well, Jake, around expectation and all of that. And I know that you're such a highly regarded player early on that you can maybe lump your own expectation or your own pressure on top. And I even look now at Sam Constance, for example, who had a taste of Test cricket, and now every innings at Sheffield Shield level, almost every ball he faces is so heavily scrutinised. But did you discover in more recent seasons, I guess, the idea of thinking your career was just about done and not being a contender for a test spot enabled you to just be generally more relaxed about how you approach things?
Yeah, I probably never thought about it that too deeply in terms of where my career was. I probably thought more of, you know, what do I do when I'm playing my best cricket? And what do I do when I'm moving well and able to impact games in a way that will win teams for my, we win games for my team and put the team in good positions, and how would I play that can be consistently rolled out and perform consistently, which is obviously the ultimate as a batter. It's not a very consistent sport. You're going to fail a lot more than you succeed. So trying to figure out ways about how to deal with failure, but also not be too too up and down with my my game plans and all that sort of stuff. So for me, it was little by little, just understanding my game a bit better mentally, from how can I walk out there every time and bat and be repetitive, and then from there, hopefully the scores follow, and they did. And once that happened, you sort of start building belief in your game around, all right, this is what I need to do to be successful. It's not going to work every time. It's not going to work, you know, it's going to work 37% of the time, I think the stat is, if you're going well. So I know that if I can keep doing that, I'll be able to put enough scores on the board to be consistent, which is where I am now. So.
And I've seen you speak about shifting the pressure away from yourself and putting it back on the bowler. It sounds simple, but did that unlock a bit of a catalyst for you?
Yeah, to a degree. I think it's probably just my own way of just sort of reframing what it is to be a batter a little bit. And I think, you know, we all talk about it as batters, is that can you put some pressure back on, and can you find some freedom in trying to put pressure back on the bowlers and make them feel as though that their margin of error is a lot smaller. But at the same time, like that's just trying to make me move better. That's other players do it differently, and I'm sure when I go into this camp, I'll learn a lot more from other great players. But for me, it seems to be the best way for me to move in the game and be in a good mental and physical state to perform. So.
We're speaking on Summer Grandstand on ABC Sport with Tassie opener and Australian Test squad member Jake Weatherald here on Grandstand around the country. What about, there's a potential for a bit of history here, and I'm sure you're probably aware, not a lot of guys from your part of the world have made that ascendancy to the Australian Test cricket team. I'm talking about people from Darwin, and in that you count Damien Martin, who only lived there until he was three, but I get a sense that, you know, Territorians would be so proud to have a Test cricketer they could call their own.
Yeah, it's probably something that I probably didn't realise until it happened, you know, when I got names, and the amount of like sort of outpouring it was. And I understood the gravity of it, obviously growing up in the Territory and spending so much time there, that, you know, we're starved of cricket up there, and it's sort of, the cricketers are seen as, you know, gods from up there, because, you know, they're so far away. We're so far away from the South, and being a part of it, it just doesn't seem like it's ever going to happen. So to be some sort of inspiration for kids growing up in the Territory is a pretty cool thing for me, because I was in their position not so long ago. So I think it's going to be a pretty cool moment for not only myself, but Northern Territory cricket as well.
And the Ashes specifically, and what that represents. Am I right in saying that was sort of one of your core cricket memories, was the 2005 series and staying up late to watch that as a youngster?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that sort of captured my imagination completely. You know, when you grow up in the Territory, it's generally footy based. Everyone wants to be a footy player, and I sort of started playing. I'd been playing a little bit of cricket, and then I watched that series, and I was like, "Yeah, I'm hooked. Oh, this is where I want to be. This is what I want to do. I want to be Shane Warne. I didn't want to be a leaf spinner, but I wanted to do the things he did on the cricket field, have that sort of aura that he walked out with and played, and Matty Hayden, Justin Langer, all those guys that I absolutely idolised. And to actually watch that series and actually watch them lose sort of inspired more, because it sort of showed that, you know, Test cricket is the ultimate form of challenge in Australian in world sport at the moment. So I think I was just so keen to be a part of it.
And I'm sure that was a series that a lot of people, probably of your generation, and I'm one of them, that remembers fondly, even, of course, that, you know, England won it, and that was our first loss in a series for a long time. On to current matters, Jake. Had you been concerned that, you know, Uzi had publicly, you know, thrown support behind a couple of his Queensland teammates? I think he, at different stages, had endorsed Matt Renshaw to be the guy, and then Manus Lavishane, and, of course, Manus might still bat three, obviously, but having spoken to him the other night, he certainly did pay tribute to your form and mention how deserved your place in that squad certainly is. So hopefully that's how it all falls in a couple of weeks' time.
Yeah, it is. You know, I absolutely understand his line of thinking. He's a Queenslander, and he's playing domestic cricket. You're going to play. You're going to back your mates and the people that you're around. I'd do the same thing if I was, you know, I was in his position and I was down in Tassie. You know what I mean? I'd be talking about, you know, Timmy Ward or Caleb Jewell or something like that. I'd be saying these guys are ready to go as well too. So. I have no problem with that. It's good. I think it shows that, you know, he's passionate about the people he plays with, and a lot of respect for that.
So the Shield match starting Monday at Belrive, you're up against your old state. Do you do anything differently as you approach your first game as an Australian Test squad member?
Not really, to be fair. No, I just try to keep it pretty simple. Like, I'm not too concerned about the results and what's going to happen. I know that when I'm in a good position and moving well, that I give myself the best chance. And at the end of the day, like, while the Shield game is really important, I want to. I'm also getting ready for potentially playing a test match. So I've got to make sure that I'm doing the right things in the prep for that game, nailing all that stuff, and not being too caught up in what's going on. And then hopefully make some runs. And if I don't, it's all right. But if it makes some runs, and then be ready for that test match if I get opportunity.
I'm keen to know as well, Jake, just when we reflect on, I suppose, the numbers, and you are the best performing batter across the Sheffield Shield the past 18 months, certainly in the top of the order role, but you know, close to 1,000 runs last season. Is there an innings in that sort of form one in that last year and a half where you thought, okay, this could be like a test quality, like that innings I'm particularly proud of?
There was nothing really exactly. There's nothing exactly there. I think it was probably the fact that I could repeat it.
Yeah.
So often, which is what, especially at top of the order, like I think Woozy talked about it at the moment. You know, the wickets have got to a point now where it's, you know, the games are moving forward pretty quickly in most games in state cricket at the moment. They're pretty unforgiving if you don't find a way to stay in, but also put pressure back on the bowler. So I think for me it was to be able to roll that out consistently. And I made 3 ducks last year as well too. So it shows that, you know, if you're not on from ball one, that it's a tough place to be batting. So I think I was happy with just the overall year and being consistent throughout the whole year, really.
We know it'll be a fiery series based on how we left things a couple of years ago, which, of course, had nothing to do with you, but you'll be in the thick of it potentially in the Australian team. Are you the kind of guy to sort of do a bit of trash talking, or do you sort of stay quiet? How's that going to play out for you, do you reckon?
I don't really know, to be fair. I'm like, I can be pretty reserved at times, but I can be pretty fiery as well. But I don't know. I don't really know, to be fair. It'd be funny. I'm sure if someone starts saying stuff to me, I probably can't hold myself back. But at the same time, I'm not going to go out looking for it. But I just take it on for what it is. It's every moment's going to be. It's just going to be a cool experience. Being sledged by the Barmy Army would be one of the greatest moments of my life. So it'd be. Those things are just like a part of what you want to be in. So yeah.
Hey, Jake, we so appreciate your time and sharing your story with us. We hope that you get to write a new and exciting chapter in Perth in a couple of weeks' time, and all the best for the summer ahead.
Thanks so much, mate. I appreciate that.
Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.